Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez, the Spitting Statistician, and the King, Scott Engel, here on a Wednesday. For everybody listening on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or if you're listening to us later, wherever you download your podcast, thanks for tuning on in. Here's what we do. I got to let people know that on our Wednesday show, we do not have Mike Blewett as usual, but Scott Engel and myself, we take the first 2 hours along with last hour on Roto Experts in the Morning to take an early look at all of the Week 8 games. We will continue that in a hot second, but let me bring in Scotty right here. First of all, how are you doing, Scotty? And second of all, we just broke news of a trade. Adam Schefter is reporting that the Giants, the fire sale continues. Look, they traded Eli Apple to the Saints yesterday. They've traded Damon Snacks Harrison, one of the best run stuffers in the NFL, to the Detroit Lions for a draft pick. The Lions, you know, Scotty, are around 500 in that competitive NFC North. They maybe think that they have something with their refound running game and moving the ball. And, you know, they had A'shaun Robinson out of Alabama, guys like Deshaun Hand, Ansah, who's hurt right now on that defensive line. They go ahead and make an investment to maybe help to try to stop the run in Snacks Harrison.
Yeah, I think if even if Ansah was there, this would be a consideration. Going into this week, the Giants had the third best run defense in the NFL in average yards per game, giving up 83.7. Meanwhile, Detroit much further down the list at 22nd, and That's an improvement from where they are about 2 weeks ago. They give up 122.3 yards per game, so they're feeling like they want to shore up that run defense. General manager Bob Quinn is committed to being physical on the offensive side of the ball, and now he wants to do it on the defensive side of the ball. So matchup-wise, I think Detroit becomes a tougher defense now overall. And, you know, start your running backs against the Giants. I like Adrian Peterson even more as a daily play this week. Is that game on Monday night, though?
No, the Giants won Monday night last week.
Yeah.
So I doubt they're on Monday night back-to-back.
Yeah, I don't think, no, they're not. But, you know, Adrian Peterson's a guy I like now against the Giants this week. All of a sudden, it's like now starting your running backs against the Giants, and the Giants are a defense that you can pick on.
Yep, absolutely. The Giants and the Washington football team will get it on from MetLife Stadium at 1 o'clock Eastern this Sunday. But let's look at this from the Lions side of view here, Scott, because here's the thing. The Lions right now are 3-3, okay? They are 3-3. I got to tell you something, though. They've won their last two games, right? I think they found something in Carry On My Wayward Son. You know, they're now looking to augment their defense. You know, Matt Patricia coming in there as a head coach wanted to be more physical, wants to maybe punch some people in the mouth. Snacks Harrison literally is, you know, in Pro Football Focus grades, he's like literally the best run stuffer in the NFL. In this division, Scott, you know, with the Chicago Bears, where we thought had a great defense, but now with the Khalil Mack injury is kind of reverted to a good defense. We like the Vikings, but they have their flaws as well. The offensive line and the defense hasn't played as well. There's the Packers, but listen, they are going to live and die with Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, is not 100%. You know, like, should we take the Lions more seriously? They are 3-3 right now. I would actually believe that the arrow is trending up on a team like Detroit. Right now, Scott, the Packers would hold the second wild card spot in the NFC at 3-2-1. The Lions are 3-3 right there, along with Chicago at 3-3, Seattle at 3-3, Tampa at 3-3. Should we start taking the Lions more seriously as a playoff contender?
I was a few weeks ago, actually, and I think everybody will now more. Even so, because you know they pick up a big name that even the average fan knows, and not the average fan doesn't always know defensive players. So it says something about who Damon Harrison is. And this game against Seattle is going to be
big for playoff position.
I think it's pivotal. It's pivotal for both. And I was talking about this in my advanced scout on rotoexperts.com. I think this is the under of the week. I think this might be the most physical game of the week because you talk about Seattle, which is like, you know, they throw the ball less than any other team. Russell Wilson's about efficiency, and they want to run the ball. And the Lions are coming in here and saying, well, we want to stop the run too. But on the other side right now, I don't know if anybody has noticed that the Seahawks have the second best defense in the NFL right now. They're playing better than expectations. You know, they've lost the Legion of Boom, but their safeties are playing very, very well. And they'll get KJ right back at linebacker this week, too. So this could be a very physical game where the points are not easy to come by. That said, you know, contrarian DFS stack, if you're running out multiple lineups, you know, could be either Seattle or Detroit.
All right. You mentioned how pivotal for NFC positioning this Seahawks-Lions game. I just brought up the Lions' schedule. Their next 5 weeks, they have nothing but teams that they are contending with either in the NFC North or in the NFC for playoff positioning. I mean, Seattle, Minnesota, Chicago, Carolina, and then Chicago again in the next 5 weeks. If they can get hot, and you know, Scotty, in these five games, if they go 3-2, they'll be standing at 6-5 with some wins against other conference teams, like you mentioned, maybe like a Seattle, maybe like a Carolina, maybe against the Chicago in the division. If Detroit can do well in this five-game stretch, I think people will really have to start to think of them as a playoff contender in the NFC. But Scotty, the Giants,
I don't think they want to be 6-5. That's not a good spot to be in for the playoffs. Because that means you got to go 4-1 the rest of the week. If they're 7-4, I think it's different. And one game makes a big swing right there. And if you're a Lions fan and they have a very passionate fan base, you know, this is very telling, I think, about, you know, can you start having more confidence in the team? Because these are the kind of spots in the past where the Lions would, you know, start to fall apart. You know, the Lions have, I can't remember the last time they've won a big game. But have they ever won a big game? You know, they always get zacked out in the first round of the playoffs when they make it. Here's a real chance to establish a new identity for this franchise. This is a pivotal game, I think, at a pivotal stretch, you know, and if they want to change this identity of this franchise as well as be a playoff contender, they got to play well. This is a very, very interesting storyline, not only just from this season, just from the scope of the franchise and where Bob Quinn wants to get the team pointed in the right direction. They are facing a pivotal telling stretch right now.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a very big stretch with conference and division opponents. They have a chance to make noise or, like you say, kind of do what they always do, you know, and kind of be this like middling, potential, nondescript kind of team. Or do they announce themselves that they are a better contender than they have been in years past?
Are they just the NFC Bengals again?
Yeah, absolutely. So, but that's not the only move the Giants have made. Yesterday, they traded Eli Apple to the New Orleans Saints for a fourth-round pick and a future seventh-round pick. We talked about it in the previous hour, Scott. The Saints, they're in the market for cornerbacks. They do, unlike the Lions, who we're talking about, like, do they see themselves as contenders? We know the Saints see themselves as a contender. The window is open, you know, for the few years that Drew Brees is still left there, so might as well go ahead and invest, and they think Eli Apple couldn't be that corner opposite Marshawn Lattimore.
You know what's really interesting, though? It's like you're seeing all these trades, and there may be more to come. I don't have a count as compared to past years, but at least feels like we're seeing more action at near the trade deadline than ever, and we still got 6 days to go. It's more interesting this year than ever before.
I would say, and I heard Adam Schefter make this point, last year, though, there were a number of trades as well, okay? He said that last year really kind of was an outlier. Marcel Darius, Jimmy Garoppolo, others that were moving teams last year. And he, I heard Schefter making the point, and then listen, we've seen trades already this year. The Amari Cooper, the Carlos Hyde, you know, Teddy Bridgewater even, going back to the beginning of the season. And he's saying that, you know, in the NFL, we're in a new kind of day and age. You know, remember last year, the Brock Osweiler trade and how that really reminded people of like an NBA kind of trade that was like a salary dump kind of thing almost. And we're starting to see those in the NFL. It looks like, to your point, Scotty, the next 6 days may be full with more trades than people are used to. We've already talked about the potential for Demaryius Thomas to be on the move. So let's spin this to fantasy, Scott. If you expect more trades to kind of happen, you know, like, for example, 2 weeks ago, and this is no fault of your own, Scotty, but we were hyping TJ Yeldon in the in-season ranks as like an RB1 moving forward. And then there's a trade. You know what I mean? So what happens if, like, we identified, say, Washington and Miami, and we don't know, but we're just spitballing here as two potential options for, like, a Demaryius Thomas trade, right? If that's the case, do you, like, not go ahead and invest in who the spec guys would be because maybe Demaryius Thomas comes? What would have happened? And I don't think this is the case, but people have been all on Tyler Boyd, right? All year, like, oh, Tyler Boyd might happen. What if the Bengals go ahead and trade for Demaryius Thomas? I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's the fit, but that would render an asset that we've been talking about completely irrelevant. Now that you're saying there may be more trades, do you wait this week and not spend waiver wire, not spend your fab budget because you want to see how the dust settles in the NFL after the trading deadline before you make a pick? Because that could change the composition and the opportunity and the value of some of these players.
You can't base your fantasy approach on what ifs. I mean,
okay,
you know, we're having a little fun here, you know, going around the league and saying, oh, you might be land here and here and here, but we have absolutely nothing to base this Demaryius Thomas stuff on, like where he would land. You know, for all we know, he could end up on the friggin' Rams. You know, we don't know. We haven't seen any rumors, whatever. You know, I use the Rams because, you know, they're loaded at wide receiver, right? Obviously. So you can't sit back and all of a sudden become conservative based on complete what ifs. It's the exact opposite. Look at what happened with Nick Chubb. What has to happen right now is you have to make sure you're on top of your game right now and, you know, be ready at any time to hit the free agent list. Now, right. And
that's why we brought
what
out
comes
Cortland
into play
Sutton.
Here. What comes into play here is, you know, what are your league rules? And this makes you more consciously think about it. You know, we've heard other analysts on this channel bring it up before. If somebody's traded today, like let's say Demaryius Thomas was traded today and Cortland Sutton's a free agent in your league, well, there's two types of scenarios on waivers. Number one, you have fab bids that run every night, so you're okay, right? You know, but a lot of leagues, especially the public leagues, is,
yeah,
and we saw this with Nick Chubb, it's a race to can ever hit the button first. And, you know, that seems unfair. And I think it is unfair. And,
right,
you know, that more crystallized in my mind that there should be waivers run every single night in every league. Because otherwise, you know, look, I'm willing to play in just about any format, but first come, first serve. It just, you know, it makes for a mad run to hit that add button. It's really just not it's unfair. Like, you know, even somebody like me who does it for a living, you know, if
sure,
I got something personal going on, you know, if I'm at,
sure,
you know, if I'm at the shop with the car and, like, you know, I'm,
yeah,
talking to the mechanic and something breaks, you know, in fantasy football and I'm involved, mm-hmm, in a conversation and you're not and you beat me by 3 minutes,
yeah,
to the waiver wire, well, you know, that's really not fair to anybody.
No, I completely agree. There's scenarios like that all the time. Listen, Scott, we live in New York. I'm underground in the subway a lot. You know what I mean? I can't pick someone,
exactly,
up when I'm underground. Also,
yeah,
to be quite honest, part of the reason I love fantasy football, I love my long-term dynasty leagues, is because it's my way to keep in touch with my friends from the past, right? It's my way. It's what I have with some of my 20-year friends. You know what I mean? And I got to tell you, some of my big long-term dynasty league, it's 14 teams. I talk about this team when I won the championship last year. I'm doing well this year, whatever. In this league, we've got a guy who lives in Korea right now. You know what I mean? And so he's got a 12-hour time difference. So when news breaks, he's asleep. And he should be. You know what I mean? It's he can't be monitoring that. We got people in different time zones, in different countries, for goodness sakes, playing in the same league. And that is the beauty of fantasy football. But you shouldn't be at a competitive disadvantage if you're waking up in Thailand versus waking up in Chicago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then also, it talks about your Courtland Sutton pickup.
Right.
Being ahead of the game so you, A, don't have to race to the waiver wire. Or B, worry about how much fab you're going to bid. You have to see things ahead of time. And I was telling people for different reasons that, up till 3 weeks ago, pick up Nick Chubb. Because Carlos Hyde, A, was slowing down, and B, has a long history of injuries. And eventually he slowed down so much to the point where the Browns just said, let's unload him. So you got to be ahead of the curve. And that's why I talk about guys like Capri Bibbs, because Chris Thompson has not stayed healthy at all in his 2 years, where he's become more prominent. And Adrian Peterson, as well as he played, he's been dealing with multiple injuries. You have to see these things somewhat ahead of time. And look at Chris Ivory this week. Make sure that you have the handcuffs to your top running backs, because you never know when one of your top running backs might go down and you might need the handcuff. If you have Kareem Hunt, well, you better be rostering Spencer Ware.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be kind of honest, look at this. Look at the Pittsburgh situation. If you drafted Le'Veon Bell and you backed it up with James Conner, boy, are you excited you did so. Let's talk about that game real quick. You mentioned Capri Bibbs. We mentioned how the run defense is going to be diminished without Snacks Harrison on the Giants. Listen, this Washington team, though, we know it's not dynamic. We've been talking about how you don't like Jordan Reed. These wide receivers, I don't think, are startable. So is this Adrian Peterson and nobody else for Washington this week?
Could be. We could see other receivers show up, but it's really hard
Crowder,
to, like, scout
Richardson.
It. And, scout it and say, who's going to show up because, there's not a lot of juice on that offense whatsoever. Could be Vernon Davis getting in the end zone.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
And what about on the Giants side? Listen, we know Saquon is getting his. We know about that. We know Odell is the squeaky wheel that gets the grease, right? And so it needs to be a part. Outside of those two guys, my questions are really around Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram. Those are the two pieces that I think are being sacrificed to pump Saquon and Odell with opportunity. How do you feel about Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram moving forward? I mean, Ingram might be valuable because tight end is such a wasteland. But what about Sterling Shepard? Is he droppable? Is he just benched right now? What are you doing with Shep?
He's coming off a huge game. Why would he be droppable?
Still. I mean, okay, so you think he is going to be a big piece of this offense moving forward? That's what I'm asking. What do you think is the outlook for guys like Shep and Ingram?
I think consistency is going to be an issue. One week it could be Ingram. One week it could be Shepard. And I think that's all about game planning there. And they're going to continue to throw to those guys because, Shermer was saying that that we're going to go and give these guys, young guys, a chance, and Shepard and Ingram are young guys.
Yep, absolutely. So be quite honest, they got a lot. Odell is young, Saquon is young. If only they could protect the quarterback, and they get a quarterback that was young, they might be cooking with some grease. We got a lot of games left to talk about, Scotty. When we come back here on Fantasy Sports Today, we are going to sprint through some of the rest of the Week 8 games, see the nuggets that you like, and our early lean on the point spreads. In Fantasy Sports Today, Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Angle. Come on right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back. It's Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Angle. We're trying to take you to and give you our early looks at the Week 8 games. We've got a lot of games left to talk about, so we are going to get to that in a hot second. But first, I got to let people know, that if you're playing daily fantasy sports, but if you're sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool over at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups. Ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps, okay? And go on over to mybookie.ag. Enter the promo code FNTSY. You'll get a special deposit bonus, all right? Just the props that you choose. Don't worry about the salary caps. Don't worry about the sharks out there. Go to mybookie.ag, enter the promo code FNTSY, and start winning today. We also got a caller on the line. Want to get to him. It's Andrew in Boston. I begrudgingly say congratulations on your 1-0 lead in the World Series, but let's not talk about that. Let's talk about fantasy football. How can we help you, Andrew?
Yeah, much more important things this morning because I have some serious running back issues. I got beat up by one spot from Mostert last night on waivers. And with Sony being hurt in bye weeks, I need to pick someone up. Should I go for Ivory or Capri Bibbs? Those are literally the two best options available to me right now.
Yeah, I'd be going for Ivory because it looks like he's going to get a chance to start against New England this week. Probably be a big part of the game plan, as they probably want to play ball control as much as they can against New England. Take it 1 week at a time there because, you know, maybe hopefully you'll have Michelle back by 2 weeks' time. So I would definitely grab Ivory.
I agree, Andrew. I would go Ivory as well. It sounds like for you, because of buys and the Michelle injury, this is a short-term kind of thing, so you could take advantage of the fact that Shady McCoy is in the cold, dark, quiet room. I agree. I would go Chris Ivory. Thanks for the call. Scotty, let's get on back into it. Anytime. Next game I want to talk about, Scotty, is the New York Jets against the Chicago Bears in Chicago. Listen, is this defense elite or not? We're going to find out, I think, this week. This is a team, honestly, Scott, the Chicago Bears should be able to eat defensively off Sam Darnold, who we see has been turnover prone. We know there's injuries in the Jets' wide receiving core. I think this is a get-right game for the Chicago Bears defense, even against my Jets. I'm leaning towards the Bears as a survivor pick this week.
Yeah, I think that's a good call, too. You know, Trubisky's playing so well. It's like, you know, he's probably going to be within my top 12 of my lineup ranks tonight or tomorrow on rotoexperts.com. So, definitely good call there. Running the ball against the Jets, I don't know if I expect anything from Jordan Howard, but Tariq Cohen right now can eat anybody in space. Trey Burton is getting regular targets in the red zone. He's scored in four of his past five games, so there's that as well. Taylor Gabriel, all the injuries in the Jets secondary, it's like I love Taylor Gabriel this week.
Okay, so we're talking about Taylor Gabriel. We're talking about Tariq Cohen. We're talking about Trey Burton. You know, Scotty, technically, their number one wide receiver is Allen Robinson, right? Their outside kind of guy. And listen, I mean, he didn't do jack in week 7, but before that he was all right. Had a touchdown week 6, had a touchdown in week 4 before the bye. Has other games with double digit points and 14 targets in week 2. Are you starting Allen Robinson?
It really depends on his health, but you know, I would lean towards yes. You know, he just really wasn't a factor last week, so I want to see what the practice reports are this week.
All right, let's get into the next game, Scott. The Seattle Seahawks and the Detroit Lions. Detroit is hosting them. We've talked about how this is a very interesting game in the NFC playoff race. It's in Detroit. Detroit are the 3-point favorites. That's just from the home field advantage. I want to ask you about both teams' running back situations. In Seattle, Scott, you know, there's Carson, there's Davis, there's Penny starting to get involved in that game right before the bye as well. Is this a full-blown 3-man committee, or do you expect someone to establish themselves?
I think it's full-blown committee. I think Carson's the lead back, the guy that gets the start. May pick up the most yardage. I still like Davis as their goal line guy, but I don't think you can count on that. I really don't see Carson as a goal line guy at all. But I would stash Rashard Penny for later in the year because I really believe that they're using, especially Mike Davis, just because they feel like Penny wasn't ready. And then before the bye, they got him more involved. And maybe during the bye week, you know, they did even more work with him. They invested a late first-round pick in this kid. And I think ultimately their vision is to have Rashard Penny run a lot behind that. What's improving offensive line? You know, I don't know if people have noticed. You know, they're not talking about it anymore, about the Seattle offensive line has improved. You know, right now, their tackles are ranked number five against the pass overall, you know, by some of ESPN's metrics. And, you know, their right tackle, Jermaine Defetti, was a big problem here. So, you know, Russell Wilson is, you know, he's efficient. I don't like him as a fantasy start this week, but, you know, I think they're getting to where they want to be right now. It's like some teams start slow. The Seahawks under Pete Carroll have always traditionally started slow. But, you know, you talk about the Lions, the Seahawks started 0-2, and now they've won three of their last four coming into this game.
All right, so, you know, maybe idea of Rashard Penny as a rookie running back who might grow over time. Literally, you know how I feel about the running back growing over time on the other side of things, Scott, and that's Carry On, My Wayward Son. Carry on. Carry On Johnson coming off a 158-yard game. Same kind of thing, Scotty. After the bye, maybe the Lions scouted themselves and they think that they're better when they have some more balance. What do you think about Carry On Johnson over time? Will LeGarrette Blount continue to vulture his touchdowns?
I think Blount, you know, is going to be the goal line guy there, and it could be more of a struggle for Kerryon Johnson this week. You know, the Seahawks have been up and down against the run, but the defense is ranked second in the NFL right now, and you know, their safeties have been playing well. Like I said, they get KJ Wright back this week, so I don't think it's a total shutdown defense, but you know, it's not going to be as easy as it was last week against Miami.
All right, what if I – do you want to make a gentleman's bet here, Scotty? What if I say I believe Kerryon Johnson gets double-digit points this week? Do you disagree?
I'm okay with that, because if Theo Riddick doesn't play, he'll be involved in the passing game. He could easily hit 10. I don't think that's some sort of, how should I say, you know, lofty goal for him to hit.
Okay, so you think – so does that mean you – is he an RB2 this week?
I think he's a flex this week.
Okay.
High-end flex.
Fair enough. In that high-end flex, low-end RB2 is pretty much, you know, saying similar things depending on the size of your league. It sounds like you have him, you know, what,
he's
low
so,
to
he's
mid-20s,
he's so talented that even in a good matchup, he could put up some good...
He could break off a 60-yard run at any point in time, you know what I mean?
He could against anybody.
All right, so we'll keep an eye out on that. You know I love Kerryon Johnson. All right, next game I want to talk about. Interesting, Tampa Bay Buccaneers travel to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. I've been attacking this Bucs defense, Scott, all year long, and now the Bengals have an opportunity to do that. Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, Joe Mixon, C.J. Uzomah, Tyler Boyd. Or do you think that with a change of defensive coordinator, you saw something different in the Tampa Bay Bucs defense, and I need to stop attacking them? What do you say to that, Scott?
It's one game. You know, it's kind of tough to call, but it really depends on who you're talking about. You know, what offensive players are we discussing here, you know, when we talk about the Tampa Bay defense?
All right, so let's talk about one specifically, because we know about A.J. Green. We know about Joe Mixon. Let me hone in on C.J. Uzomah, the tight end, right? Like, he's been kind of a fringe fill-in, a kind of guy who you think of like, if I have some buys, or we know tight end is such a wasteland, who, yeah, maybe I can plug in. Do you still see C.J. in that role, kind of the streaming conversation, in the bye week fill-in kind of conversation? Is that still where you see Uzomah in this matchup this week?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the last 2 weeks, you know, he had double figure performance 2 weeks ago where he was getting volume, some volume. Last week he got in the end zone. So I think he's like a high end tight end too right now, like right outside of maybe that top 11 or so.
Okay. So someone who you could start, there's worse, right? But it's not like you're excited to start him necessarily this week, but because of buys and injuries.
Yeah, it's not something you're totally comfortable with, but you're right. You feel like you can do worse. You know, like,
you know, absolutely.
Don't get caught up in the names, like I said. There's no way I'm starting starting Jordan Reed over C.J. Uzomah.
So you're starting Uzomah over Reed this week?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Fair enough. And listen, you may be in a situation, you know, what if you have Scotty's guy, Austin Hooper, right? You may need a tight end this week, right? So Uzomah, like we're saying, you know, we're not thrilled about it, but you could do worse. Let me ask you about Tampa Bay, Scotty. They have some tight ends that we like in O.J. Howard, you know, Brate you know, I don't think he's really viable much anymore, although he does sometimes still get red zone looks. But I want to ask you about the running game here. A couple of weeks ago, people were predicting, like, similar to what we're saying about Rashad Penny as someone to watch over time in the second half of the season. I personally think, you know, Kerryon Johnson is going to ascend. You mentioned the Rashad Penny thing, right? What about Ronald Jones? Listen, there was some buzz about him maybe a couple weeks ago starting to get there, and then Peyton Barber had a good game 2 weeks ago. I don't know that Peyton Barber is really a firm grasp block to a guy like Ronald Jones for potential. Do you see Ronald Jones getting more love over time?
It's hard.
Like, compare Ronald Jones and Rashad Penny. Compare Ronald Jones and Rashad Penny.
I think Penny's got more upside. You know, he could get a third of a workload and still get more yardage than Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones has shown no upside so far at all. He scored his first NFL touchdown last week, but every time they get him on the field, it just looks like an uphill battle with this kid. But you know, he's going to get the opportunity this week with Peyton Barber, but I can't have any confidence in it. Opportunity does not always lead to production.
All right. Let's go to another game here, Scotty, because we've got a bunch still left to talk about, and only about 25 minutes before we hand it off to our guys Carton and friends, Corey Parson, Gabe Morency, and, of course, the lovely Michelle Serpico. The Baltimore Ravens and the Carolina Panthers. This is a good non-conference matchup, Scotty. These are two teams that I think want to pound you in the mouth, right? I think an interesting style of play here for both teams. Baltimore on the road, they are a much different team on the road versus at home. And I can say the same thing about the Panthers at home versus being on the road. I expect this one to be a slugfest, Scotty. Carolina and Baltimore. People are saying that they are concerned about Christian McCaffrey. I think that's ridiculous. Maybe in standard, he hasn't performed. In PPR, you love him. Any reason in standard to be concerned about CMC, or is he someone you got to just ride out week to week?
Yeah, he hasn't scored since week one. So in I don't even call him standard anymore. It's non-PPR. I think right. You have to be concerned, but there's still a floor there in PPR where I think
you have to start him.
You don't
though,
have
right?
to worry. I don't see the Carolina Panthers as a smash mouth team whatsoever. You know, it's not like, you know, they run the ball like
I'm talking about the defensive
mouth.
Side. On
no,
the defensive
side,
that front
they,
seven.
They haven't been smash mouth. You know, they've been vulnerable this year. You talk about one team here that's playing good defense and maybe the best defense in the AFC, but you know, Carolina hasn't been playing really good defense this year.
All right, so that being said, let's look at then who would be primed to take advantage of that if you think that Carolina has not been performing well defensively. Let's look at the Ravens skill position guys. Does that mean you're high on Alex Collins this week? Is he an RB2 for you this week?
No.
I thought we liked to attack this Carolina. I thought the Carolina defense was vulnerable, though.
Yeah, but you have to talk about the player, too. It's
okay.
You know, Alex Collins has been very, very touchdown dependent. If not, he's not getting the yardage. And he's losing too many carries. So, Carolina's run defense is ranked 29th. But, wrong rating there. But Carolina has been playing as well on defense. But I don't think in any matchup you can run out Alex Collins out there with any confidence.
So you're telling me Alex Collins is not, like when you do your rankings, Alex Collins is going to be outside your top 25?
Definitely. Definitely. Just, you know, it's touchdown or bust right now.
Huh. Interesting. So you'd rather have Kerryon Johnson than Alex Collins this week, right? Because you think Kerryon Johnson gets double digits.
Carolina actually ranks 28th against the rush. And you would think
so
that
sounds,
you know, that,
right?
But it's not just about the matchup. You can't make judgments based on a matchup alone. You know, not everybody can take advantage of the opportunity. I like Alex Collins. You know, I think the Ravens short shrift him, and they don't trust him. The guy runs like his hair is on fire. He's got good vision, good change of direction, but they never let him get into a rhythm. And I think that's a problem.
Now,
Carolina's pass defense, they rank 24th, so you know I'm kind of liking Joe Flacco as a streamer here.
Interesting. So Joe Flacco potentially has a stream. I remember he had a streak where he was hitting Smoke Brown over the top a lot. So that could be in play here. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk about one more game before we hit the break here, because we got to zoom through everything. The next game I see is the Indianapolis Colts as we start the 4 o'clock games. The Indianapolis Colts in Oakland to take on the Raiders. Listen. Honestly, Scott, the Raiders are a dumpster fire. It sounds like they're pissed off. They're trading away their assets. They're performing like we don't know who's next. Marshawn Lynch is on IR. You know, can I go back to the well with this Indianapolis Colts defense as a stream? It looks like, you know, listen, no Amari Cooper, no Marshawn Lynch. There's doubts around Carr. I mean, can I go back to this Colts defense as a stream, but this time on the road at Oakland?
Yeah, why not? You know, I don't know if anybody realizes this, but Indianapolis is fourth in the NFL in sacks. And, you know, this all of a sudden the Raiders have become a top team to stream against. So the only way that I would not use the Colts and not keep them, which in some of my leagues I did, if I can get New England instead going against Buffalo, right. I'd rather have New England. But the Colts are going to be a top stream this week.
Okay, and so you're still comfortable about that? You don't think in any way, shape, or form the Raiders kind of fixed something in their bye week or anything like that? You're still attacking the Raiders offense?
I don't see how they could possibly could have fixed anything. They lost their number one wide receiver and their number one running back. How could they have fixed anything?
I hear you. On the Colts, listen, the return of T.Y. Hilton last week, he got two touchdowns. What is that? And the return, really, not the complete return, but the emergence more of Marlon Mack. I know he'd been back for a couple of games, but what does that mean for guys that we have talked about a lot on this show, Nyheim Hines and Eric Ebron? We just said it. Eric Ebron is the third highest scoring tight end in fantasy this year. Is that the end of the line for him as a top tight end with the return of T.Y. Hilton?
I wouldn't say it's the end of the line, but, you know, you're not going to see any more huge games, I don't think. But, you know, this is a great matchup for Andrew Luck right now. The Raiders have the last-ranked pass defense in the NFL. So, yeah, I don't say dead last because you're either last or you're not. So there's no such thing as dead last to me. But,
sure.
Yeah, that's an editing thing for me. I digress. I think you have to love Luck this week. I don't know if anybody's going to look at it enough, but you know, maybe the Daily Roto guys will. But you know, I think you can run it. You can run a Colt stack in DFS. You'd be
that's what I was
be very
ask
successful.
You.
I think Chester Rogers could be a sneaky play this week.
Ooh, maybe stack him with an Ebron and a Rogers, like everyone that's not T.Y. Hilton, and know you're going to get some potential.
Get
we'll be back.
Get Luck and get two more.
Right. I like that. I might have to make a DFS lineup today and honor that Colts stack. We got a couple games left, Scotty. When we come back, we'll cover them all, and we'll take your calls if you want to join the fun in Functional Sports Radio on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Come on back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back Fantasy Sports Today here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. What's up, Scotty? You laughing?
No, I was listening to that bumper, you know, with Gabe Morency. That was very funny, you know, like
Five years later, Cowboys, he's not a depreciating asset, yeah.
Yeah, the Cowboys have given up a first round pick. I will say Amari Cooper's 24. And, you know, if you check out my advanced scout on rotoexperts.com,
sure.
I break the trade down. I think it's a positive for Cooper. For two reasons, you know. Number one, we all know about change of scenery, but you know he's going to play with a better quarterback, and you know Ezekiel Elliott draws so much defensive attention.
Absolutely,
Cooper was the guy getting the most defensive attention in Oakland, so I like that. You know, it's like I'm somewhere in between what Gabe was saying, and you know where Corey goes overboard and everything's positive and. Amari Cooper is going to go to the Hall of Fame now and be in the Ring of Honor kind of thing. You know, thank God for Jerry Jones, who
right.
you know, also traded for Roy Williams and Joey Galloway. And if you're gonna thank God for Jerry Jones, you better thank God for Jimmy Johnson, because ever since Jimmy Johnson has left, the Cowboys have not been the same. And I think Jerry did that out of desperation. I wouldn't give him any credit for pulling off something great.
Well, here's the thing. I understand what they're trying to do. They needed to get Dak that weapon on the outside, that number one guy. To your point, he may perform a little bit better because the attention will still be on Ezekiel Elliott. But also, listen, Scotty, the Cowboys at like 3-4 are still right in the mix in the NFC East. I will say this, though. The first round pick is a little bit of a steeper price than I would have anticipated. But hey, if you're going to go for it, you got to go for it. Three more games I want to get into,
Scotty. It's a pivotal
move.
It's a pivotal move. This team could turn it around and make the playoffs, I think, you know, maybe because of this move. It's from a strategic perspective, but, you know, Cooper's got to get his head in the game. You know, he's not dropping passes as much, but I think it's a positive. But, you know, I wouldn't say all of a sudden, you know, Dallas is like, you know, a deep playoff contender. I think this makes him more of a stronger wild card play.
Yeah, I think that's right. And don't get it twisted. Also, you know, 9 wins could win the NFC East right now, the way it's looking. So
yeah, we got to make that move now
about
yeah.
that. Yep, absolutely. Next game I want to talk about, the San Francisco 49ers go to Arizona to take on the Cardinals. A lot of unrest in Arizona. Patrick Peterson wants out. They fired their offensive coordinator after that blunt guts trash performance on Thursday night. But they have had 10 days to try to see what they, you know, can change with a new offensive coordinator. What, if anything, do you expect to be different? Like, do you think they're going to turn around and, like, is David Johnson going to get 25 touches this week?
I think Byron
with a new offensive coordinator,
smart, which you think he would be, is, you know, that, you know, you go back to your guy, and, you know, that's just what they didn't do. Not enough David Johnson in the passing game, et cetera. You know, more of Christian Kirk. He's getting it done. Maybe get Ricky Seals-Jones a little bit more involved here. Hopefully Byron Leftwich doesn't teach Josh Rosen his windup, because it used to take him six years to set up and release what he used to throw, the longest windup like I've ever seen in NFL history. Yeah. But, you know, these are two teams that feel that they're coming off of disastrous games and they could beat each other. So
specials.
I think it's going to be competitive. There's going to be some offense, I think, here. And last time Arizona faced San Francisco, they had 20-plus defensive points on most fantasy sites. Those kind of things tend not to repeat themselves, but, you know, the 49ers do turn the ball over and they do give up sacks. So Arizona is not going to be the outstanding stream it was 3 weeks ago against the Niners, but I still think
viable.
Very strong defensive stream. Thought they were going to be good last week against Denver, but you can't react to last week. I don't think they give up as many points as they did last week. They were embarrassed. You know, as bad as a team they are, they were embarrassed. And usually when we talked about it earlier, when a team gets embarrassed, sometimes they come out and play better the next game.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Both of these teams were embarrassed last week. So
that's what I'm saying. It could be competitive
for both of these teams. Absolutely.
Yeah, both
and
of
Vegas
these teams
it's gonna be-
feel like this is a team that we have to beat. This is a team we can beat. So I think this is going to be very, very competitive.
The loser in this game will have the inside track on picking near the very top of the NFL draft. The loser of this game will be, 1-7, I do believe, which will be, at best, tied for the worst record in the NFL. Listen, I agree. I think, you know, their probable response here is to turn around and feed their workhorse, David Johnson. So I would be excited if I was a David Johnson owner, or if in your league the David Johnson owner has been pissed off and frustrated. This is the time to buy low on David Johnson, if anything else. The one question I'll ask you also about the Cardinals. Rest of season, Scott, would you rather have Larry Fitzgerald or Christian Kirk?
Christian Kirk, you know, he's outperforming him right now. That could change, I would say, for the next 3 weeks or so, 4 weeks. I'd rather have Christian Kirk. You know, Larry Fitzgerald has been getting hurt, but it also might be a thing of, you know, where age has just caught up with him, too.
Yeah. And then on San Francisco, let me ask you about this committee. I want no part of any of these guys. You got Breida, who's a little banged up. We got 3 yards and a cloud of dust that is Alfred Morris. And then we have Raheem Mostert, who popped off a couple weeks ago. People were spending all sorts of fab budget on him. But he's not necessarily going to do anything. He's just part of a committee. Do you like any of these guys specifically, or are you staying away from all three because it is a three-person committee?
Well, look, Arizona's been terrible against the run this year, so I don't think he can stay away. If Breida starts, I like him. He's played well this year. I like the way he runs. If not, Mostert is a very entertaining flex play.
All right. Sunday night football, I think this is going to be exciting. The total is 57 in this game. I do believe that is the highest total on the board. Yes, it is. There's a couple games in the 50s, but no total, is higher than Green Bay Packers and the LA Rams in Los Angeles. Listen, we know about these teams, Scotty. We are starting Aaron Rodgers. We're starting Jared Goff. We're starting these wide receivers. Obviously, we're starting Gurley. You know, we're starting Jimmy Graham even at tight end, given what the tight end position is. We're starting all of these guys. Here's my question for you. I see it as a 10-point spread right now, Scotty. I know what the Rams can do, but I believe that the backdoor cover is open right here for Aaron Rodgers. If you tell me I'm going to give Aaron Rodgers 10 points and at some point the Rams might be playing prevent defense, I'm taking 10 points in Aaron Rodgers all day long, Scott. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you because, you know, we can't assume that the Rams are going to run out to, you know, and blow them out here either.
Blow them out, and then Aaron Rodgers in the second half in garbage time makes it within 10. You know, I could see this game very easily, Scott, early in the fourth quarter being something like, you know, 31-17, let's say, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, they play prevent defense. Aaron, you know, Aaron Rodgers
play prevent defense when you're up 2 touchdowns. No.
But you know what I'm saying generally, Scott. And then at the back door, I think, can easily be open here. With this at around 10 points, give me Aaron Rodgers in 10.
I agree with you fundamentally that, you know, I like the back door being open there. Yeah. But, you know, I don't see a scenario, I could be wrong, where it's a blowout and they have to play catch up. And if you do believe that, though, it's like I said about the Bears last week. They're either going to be in the game or they're going to be playing catch-up. So I think you have to like the Packers and what you're going to get offensively. The one thing when you say, you know, start everybody, look, let's just stop it with Aaron Jones, okay? Forget the Green Bay running backs. It's a committee, and they are a heavy pass-first team.
Okay, let me contrast that with some other guys we've been talking about, right? Just to get a feel for it. Okay, you're talking about Aaron Jones. We've talked about guys like Kerryon Johnson this week. We've talked about guys like Alex Collins. Okay, are you starting Aaron Jones or Alex Collins?
Alex Collins. He's always got a chance for a touchdown. You know, okay. Green Bay doesn't run the ball near the goal line.
All right, fair enough. Last game here briefly. Let's talk about it for a couple of minutes because
I don't even roster Aaron Jones. He'll waste.
All right, fair enough. I mean, I think he's rosterable. I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
I don't. Not even in a bye week do I want to start him.
Really?
You're
rostering Ronald Jones, but you're not rostering Aaron Jones?
Ronald Jones at least has some promise for upside. You know, he was, you know, got dynamic talent. You know, he just hasn't gotten done yet. You know, maybe by week, like, say, 10 or something like that, he's figured it out. And he'll have more of a chance of a touchdown run than Aaron Jones.
All right. Well, when you get your rankings up, when you get your Week 8 rankings up a little bit later on this week in the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge in-season package, I think we might have the fodder for a gentleman's bet. I think you're going a little too far on Aaron Jones.
I don't know, because, like,
we'll find out.
You know, when you're comparing Aaron Jones to Ronald Jones, you've already made my point for me that, you know, the guy is, like, really far down the rungs of fantasy running backs.
All right, but not when I compare him to, say, Kerryon Johnson or Alex Collins. So we'll look at your ranks when they come out.
There's no comparison. And, I'd rather have those guys.
All right, so maybe we'll look at that, and maybe we'll have fodder for a gentleman's bet a little bit later on in the week. Saints-Vikings is the last game, and we only got a couple of minutes left, Scotty, because, you know, we're not talking about the Monday night game yet, because, you know, who knows if Derek Anderson, I think, is starting again at quarterback. We don't know about LeSean McCoy.
Said.
So that, Yeah, but we don't know about LeSean McCoy, so that line is not on the board just yet. We're telling people that Ivory is a good pickup because usually the protocol would last a week, but it is not definitive, so there is no line or total just yet for that game. But Saints and Vikings, what do you expect in this game? I think this is going to be very interesting. My question for you is, can you start Lat Murray? Because we don't expect that, because, like, what's the deal with Dalvin Cook here?
Yeah, I think he can start Lat Murray. Look, the Saints have been pretty good against the run this year. And it's not just because of the pass funneling, but Lat Murray has played well the last 2 weeks. He's had some really good matchups, but, you know, they're going to give him the ball near the goal line, so I think he can have some confidence in him at least as a flex.
All right, last question I'll ask you. Listen, we were talking about the Saints and their passing game, and with Ted Ginn on IR, who is the number two wide receiver? I was mentioning Cameron Meredith, but he didn't get any targets. It looks like this is Tre'Quan Smith. Give me a little bit of a thumbnail sketch here on Tre'Quan Smith short term, but also in dynasty leagues. Do you like him as an asset for the Saints and for a dynasty fantasy football team?
I was talking about like him in the preseason and seasonal league. So, look, he had 111-yard game. You know, 2 weeks ago, and then last week only 3 catches for 34 yards, but they were in key spots. So I think he's emerging as the number two wide receiver there, and you know, this is a guy that by next year could be a really nice fantasy wide receiver three.
Yeah, absolutely, to pair with Michael Thomas and be one of the better duos.
Nice draft pick by
in
the
Saints. NFL. Yeah, absolutely. They've been good in the draft the last couple of years. Remember their haul
like
last year,
round,
Alvin Kamara,
I think,
Lattimore.
Fourth round.
Listen, last year they drafted the offensive and defensive rookies of the year, okay? And not to mention, like, linemen and some others. That cornerback Williams, who got burned on the miracle, had a good year as well. So the Saints and Vikings, two contenders going at it on Sunday Night Football. Scotty, we'll talk more tomorrow. We'll have some in-season ranks to talk about. You have a great fantasy day, Scotty. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike Blewett. Back in the chair tomorrow on FST. We'll be back on Roto Experts in the morning, 7 o'clock. Have a great fantasy day. Carton and friends up next on the Fantasy.